The trouble with being a doctor is that you have both uncertainty and very high stakes. So you are dealing with people's lives and you don't know everything. And in that circumstance, you have only one of two roads. You can either become quite arrogant or quite humble. I don't think any human being could chart a middle course.
Our guest is Dr. Henry Lodge, a New York internist and associate professor of medicine at Columbia University and the co-author of Younger Next Year, with almost 800,000 copies in print. Dr. Lodge is the kind of candid, smart, and thoughtful physician I really admire. So if you're shopping for a doctor, well, listen to his words and please take notes. Now, Dr. Henry Lodge, discussing his profession, practice, and philosophy. What does an internist do for the benefit of our listeners who are bewildered by that term?
It comes up all the time. An internist is in charge of diagnosing and managing complex illnesses. So we don't do surgery. We think and we manage.
You don't do surgery. You think and you manage. Then how do you diagnose and treat?
Well, the diagnosis and treatment comes mainly through the thought process. People always assume that it's the testing that gets you the diagnosis. But what happens is that taking history, simply sitting down and talking to a patient, provides 80% of the diagnosis. And the testing and the exam really confirm the diagnosis. And so what an internist does is take the enormous body of knowledge of medicine and the art form of interacting with a patient and puts them together to come up with a diagnosis. Then you get into how do you best manage the illness, which again is a combination of testing strategies and medications and lifestyle.
Well, gee, doctor, that sounds very, what's the word I'm looking for? Holistic, kind of like integrative medicine, looking at the whole person and their lifestyle and the external influences that may have created this issue in the first place. Is that fairly true?
Yeah, that's exactly true. I think anything that seems like a wonderful idea has probably been around for a long time and is true. And the discipline of Western science has not been to drive out all the fundamental truths of how human beings ought to work together. It has been to sharpen those and make them far more powerful by taking specific pieces and doing them very carefully and then synthesizing them into a whole. And that is why science and art are both still integral parts of medicine.
Why don't you give me an example of a patient whom you've seen recently where you could apply all the things that you've just told us?
For instance, there's a woman that I've been taking care of now for 20 years. She's in her late 90s now. And she has, about every 2 or 3 years, had something go wrong. She's had pneumonia, she had some heart issues, etc. And after each one of them, she came out knocked down a big chunk emotionally. She felt like it was the end and she could hear death approaching and it was time to sit back and give up. And each time I went through the testing series, we diagnosed what was wrong with her. We were able to fix it, which is lucky. And coming out the other end, we had a conversation where I said, you know, you are back to being perfectly healthy. You're going to die someday, but I can't see anything that's going to get you soon. Therefore, how do you want to live from now forward? And each time she pulled up her socks, called up her friends, started doing things, got back in her book group, and went back to having a very, very high quality of life. And so it was a function of finding out what was wrong with her, fixing it, establishing that she was fine with real science so that she had the credibility of that. And the art part was then saying, look, now in the human equation, you're back to being healthy. You may be 82 or 86 or 91 or 94, which were in fact things that happened, but you are now still around for a while. What do you want to do? That gave her the ability to reframe her life experience and step back in and live a full life.
But you also did several things. You asked the right questions. You determined that she was becoming, you know, progressively, but discouraged or depressed as these health events went along, as these various comorbidities sort of popped up to the top and then receded. But you also gave her information that was universal in nature, I think, that was not just your opinion. I mean, you gave her the basis for your conclusions. Is that a fairly accurate observation on my part?
Yeah.
Didn't I phrase that the right way?
No, I think that's right. And I think that in fact, is what doctors have always been supposed to do, along with clergy and some other people in our society, which is, in a sense, to become repositories of accumulated life wisdom, not our own so much as what we've observed in people over the decades, and then bring that back to individuals in a way that frames their individual experience as part of a broader human voyage.
Do people have a tendency to believe you or accept what you say as fact when it's not just your opinion, when it's grounded or based in the experience or perhaps the science of others? Does that make a difference?
It makes an enormous difference, and I think we have to be very careful with that responsibility. So I think one of the jobs of any professional is to try very hard not to inject your own opinion, but to really say, I am bringing you expertise and knowledge that I have accumulated professionally. And so if you frame it as, look, I have seen lots of people go through this, and this is what it feels like, and this is what it looks like, and these are the different roads forward that you can choose from.
Now, is that reassuring for people to understand that they're not alone on this path, especially as they get older and the light at the end of the tunnel is becoming increasingly dimmer?
Or brighter, yeah. Yes, I think it's enormously reassuring for people to have a sense that there is guidance and that there are discrete paths, and there may be several, but that there are paths you can follow. And human beings do very, very poorly with uncertainty. So it is much easier for us to have specific choices, even if some of them are terribly hard choices. Physicians almost never know the full truth. We are always stuck with partial knowledge. That's just the nature of biology. And I find it incredibly reassuring and empowering to patients to say, look, we don't know everything. We do know quite a lot. Here's what we know. That frames the road forward quite clearly.
But doctor, you're the guy in the white coat with a stethoscope in the pocket. How do people receive that information? Do they find it frustrating or reassuring that you know, here is a well-known physician, the author of a New York Times best-selling book, saying, you know, we don't have all the answers, but we do the best we can?
No, I think if you... if you frame it appropriately, first of all, everybody knows it's true. I mean, since we seem right. to change our mind every 3 seconds about which drug to take and what's good and what's bad.
You know, actually, there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, there's a lot of truth to that analysis.
The reason that we seem to change our mind all the time is that we have done our best with imperfect information. We get a little bit more knowledge and we change a little bit. But I find that patients view it far more as a collaborative partnership when you are open about what you do and don't know. It also lets you be very authoritative about what you do know and very collaborative about what you don't. And I think doctors have an enormous temptation to play God by filling in all uncertainty. And I think that's an enormous mistake. It does the patient a disservice. It does the doctor a disservice. I think, you know, it's much easier, in fact, to be humble. It lets you off the hook for the things you don't know. It makes you collaborative with the patient. It creates a far stronger clinical partnership. And I think most of the best doctors end up, as their lives go on, becoming more and more humble about what they don't know and more comfortable with what they do.
Well, you're also giving part of the responsibility back to the patient, responsibility that they would love to hand to you, when in reality, there is much more than they can do, especially if they're engaged with a kind of a father knows best physician who's patting them on the head and say, there, you know, we'll take care of all this. Everything will be fine. And the people walk out the door disempowered, which is not, that doesn't sound like your goal at all, Dr. Lodge.
No, and I think the way I look at it is that the knowledge, the information about your health does not belong to me. It belongs to you. I'm a temporary custodian. It's your life. You have the ownership of it. My job is to give you the information and then to guide you appropriately. Getting and giving the information are science and involve a lot of judgment and a lot of skill, but helping you deal with it, counseling you, is the art, which involves skill on a different level.
Dr. Henry Lodge's New York Times bestselling book is Younger Next Year.